The next presentation is nitrogen stress induced modification of the foliar phytochemical composition in strawberries, and presented by Nam Vikar from Climate Science University. Thank you.
Okay, good morning all. Today I'm going to talk about how nitrogen stress induces modifications in the secondary metabolism in plants. As we all know, plants are sessile and they are exposed to a number of stressors. Plants adapt to these stressors by being plastic. Morphological plasticity and physiological plasticity is well studied in plant, but what our group is more interested in is the chemical plasticity, which is a manifestation of physiological plasticity and consists of change in the content, composition and localization of molecules in the plants. Morphological, physiological and chemical plasticity helps the plant to adapt to the environmental stressors. But from human perspective, the change in the content composition and localization play a significant role because they determine the nutritional quality of the produce. So let me talk in some more detail about the composition and localization of these molecules in plants. So if we take tannins, for example, these are defined as polyphenols which have the ability to precipitate proteins. They are broadly categorized as hydrolyzable tannins and condensed tannins. So hydrolyzable tannins are further categorized as elagitannins and gallotannins based on the functional groups present. And if we take elagitannin, for example, there is again diversity because of these different substituent groups present. And there are more than 1,000 elagitannins reported in literature, and our group for the first time was able to screen for 150 of these elagitannins from a single sample by the method developed. And similarly, when we take condensed tannins, for example, which are polymers of the monomer flavanthriol, the diversity is attributed to the different functional groups present on the monomer units, the different linkages between the monomer units, and the polymer chain length itself. Then moving on to the next aspect of localization of these phenolics, this figure here gives the most simplified version of those localization of phenolics, that is, after being synthesized in the cytoplasmic side of the endoplasmic reticulum, they are transported into the vacuoles by either transporter proteins or through membrane vesicular trafficking. And once in the vacuoles, they undergo further polymerization. And from here, they have two fate, that is, either they can be localized in the vacuoles or they can be transported again through membrane vesicular trafficking to the cell wall, where they can bind to the structural proteins and carbohydrates. So thus the two generalized localization of the phenolic compounds are the vacuolar phenolics, that is, they are also being called as the extractable phenolics, or the cell wall bound phenolics. But then the question is, why do we care about this change in composition and localization? Well, the answer is that the molecular identity of the compound dictates its biological function. That is, for example, from a plant perspective, different molecules will have different defense functions. For example, the hydrolyzable tannins are better pro-oxidant compounds, and hence they play a role as herbivore deterrents, whereas the long-chain condensed tannins are better photoprotectants. Similarly, the vacuolar tannins are better herbivore defense compounds and antioxidants, whereas the bound phenolics are better photoprotectants. And again, from human perspective, different molecules have different therapeutic activity. For example, the C-glycosidic elagitannins are known to be better anti-cancer agents, whereas the prodelphinidin-rich condensed tannins are strong antioxidant compounds. And based on the localization, the vacuolar phenolics are found to be preferably transported across the plants. That is, they could be transported from the leaves to the fruit, which could increase the nutritive value of the fruits. But then we need to understand that these plant responses are not random. That is, under stress condition, not all of the secondary metabolites are upregulated, and the changes are geared towards the best stress mitigation possible. So, for example, here is the general polyphenol biosynthetic pathway which goes through the first the Shikimet pathway, the phenylpropionate pathway, and then the flavonoid pathway. So, If there is an increase in the ellagitannin, which branches off from the Shikimet pathway, there could be decrease in the production of condensed tannins. But as the severity of stress, based on the severity of the stress, there could be more carbon flow down the phenylpropionate and the flavonoid pathway, leading to increased production of more reactive flavonoid compounds. So this brings us to our hypothesis that along with the changes in the quantity of the phenolic compounds, stress would alter the composition of these phenolic compounds, their localization. There could be enrichment of compounds with higher reactivity, and sometimes there could be a non-linear relationship between the response and the applied stress. So one of the potential applications of the study is that whether precise management of nutrient stress could be used to increase the overall nutritive value of the produce with acceptable loss of yield. So to test this hypothesis, our experimental setup consisted of two cultivars of strawberries as the model crop and nitrogen as the model stress. So I applied four different nitrogen treatments, 15 millimolar being the optimal for strawberries when grown in potting mixtures as reported by most of the literature. And for my control, I did not add any nitrogen in the form of ammonium nitrate for that 10-week period of my study. And because it was the first year, we did not want the plant to go to fruiting. We harvested the leaves and the analysis was done on the leaves. And the second thought process for analyzing the leaves was that a part of leaf phytochemistry is known to be influencing the phytochemistry in the fruit, and also the leaf phytochemistry defines how well defended the plant is. Then moving on to some of my results, we first wanted to see how does the two cultivars respond to the nitrogen stress. So this is the principal component analysis based on the 281 metabolites in the two strawberry cultivars exposed to the four nitrogen treatments. So the circle represents the Albion cultivar and the triangle represents the Camarosa cultivar, and different color code represents different nitrogen treatments. So the key results are different nitrogen treatments are separated along the PC1 axis, with nitrogen with low nitrogen treated plants are significantly different from those with the optimum levels of nitrogen treatment. And the second observation is like there are some innate metabolic differences between the two cultivars, which is evident as they are separated along the PC1 axis. So the take-home message here is that the metabolic responses to nitrogen is consistent across both the species. Then we wanted to see the chemodiversity within the flavonoid group as a response to nitrogen stress. So this is the composition of the two flavonoid groups, that is the flavanols represented here as the closed bars and flavones represented here as the open bars. And my treatments are along the x-axis and relative intensity on the y-axis. So flavanols are the hydroxylated forms of the flavones. So the key observations here are across all my treatments, the flavanols were abundant as compared to the flavones. And as nitrogen stress increases, the flavanol content also increases. So the take-home message here is that at higher stress, more reactive of those flavanols are produced. So then we wanted to see, was the effect of nitrogen similar on another group of phenolic compounds, that is the tannins. And as I mentioned earlier, they are broadly classified as hydrolyzable tannin and condensed tannins, represented here as the closed bars and open bars respectively. And again, my treatments are on the x-axis and relative intensity on the y-axis. So the key observations here are the total tannins, that is the sum of closed and open bar, increases as nitrogen stress increases. But the hydrolyzable tannins are less affected by the nitrogen treatment, whereas the condensed tannins showed a tenfold variation under nitrogen limitation as against under optimum levels of nitrogen treatment. So the key message here is that nitrogen stress increased condensed tannins, but nutrient sufficiency promoted hydrolyzable tannins. Then we wanted to see what was the effect of the nitrogen within the class of the hydrolyzable tannins. and gallotamins represented here as closed buds and elagitamins represented here as open buds are the two major subclasses of hydrolyzable tannin. And again, my treatments are on the x-axis and relative intensity on the y-axis. So the key observation here is, well, the leaves are rich in elagitamin, but there is a non-linear response. That is, the elagitamin increases at under nitrogen limitation as well as under optimum levels of nitrogen treatment, whereas the gallotannin increases by 50% under nitrogen limitation as against the under optimum levels of nitrogen treatment. So the key message here is that nitrogen had differential influence within the subgroups of the hydrolyzable tannins. Then moving on to the effect of nitrogen on the localization of the condensed tannins. So the closed bar represents the extractable or the vacuolar condensed tannins, and the open bar represents the bound or the cell wall bound condensed tannins. And again, my treatments are along the x-axis, and y-axis is the microgram of cyanidin equivalent per gram of the fresh weight. So the key observations here are, as nitrogen stress increases, the extractable or the vacuolar condensed tannins also increases. And under optimum levels of nitrogen treatment, more of the condensed tannin is in the bound form, whereas under nitrogen limitation, more of that condensed tannin is in the extractable form. So then the key message here is that nitrogen stress retains those tannins in the vacuole. This could mean that more of that condensed tannins is available to be transported across the plant, and this could mean that we could have fruits with a higher nutritive, phytonutritive content. So then I can conclude that the metabolic responses to the induced stress was consistent among the two cultivars, and there was a non-linear relationship between the stress stimuli and the response between the different classes of phenylpropionate. And with increase in the stress stimuli, the plant would produce more reactive of the chemical compounds. And nitrogen stress defines the localization of the produced phenolic compounds as well. And lastly, I can say that the precise nutrient management could be used to increase the phytonutrient contents in the plants. With this, I would like to thank Clemson University and my lab group and my funding agencies, USDA and NFL. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. On your last conclusion, you said that it could increase the phytonutrients, but you have not analyzed the fruits yet, right?
Yeah. So I have harvested the fruits, but I have not yet started the analysis. So yeah, I cannot say that I could see the same pattern on the fruits, but it is proposed.
And then a question I have is, how did you choose nitrogen and not the other ones, phosphorus and potassium?
So because in the polyphenol biosynthesis in the Shikimate pathway, it gives rise to phenylalanine, which is an amino acid. So that's why I chose, because then the plant would be in a dilemma, right, whether to grow or to defend. So phenylalanine or amino acids being the primary metabolites, so how does the plant define whether it has to be channeled to the growth or it has to be channeled to the defense pathway?
So my question is, do you think this response will be similar if the stressor is maybe potassium or phosphorus or water?
No, I cannot say that the response will be similar if the stressor changes. So because which step the nutrient or the water would affect, that would modify the response, I suppose.
Okay, thank you.